personally thank Pax for his lesson this morning. I thought it was very good. Pax is a very... What kind of word will I use for Pax? No. Pax has a tender heart. And I really appreciate him presenting his lesson this morning. He has great concern. And hopefully... It just makes it a little bit tougher for me, but hopefully we'll glean some from our lesson tonight. I want to talk about the Hebrew writer in chapter 11 describes for us God's Hall of Fame for the faithful. And in Hebrews, he has a number of people, men and women, that he lists that are classified as, like I said, very faithful. And he starts off with the first one, with Abel. In Hebrews 11:4, he says, "We have Abel. He offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain," which gives the indication that God had told them what kind of sacrifice to present. And Abel presented that sacrifice, and Cain did not. And that's the reason that Abel's was better or more excellent than Cain's. Then the second one he talks about is Enoch. He was translated so that he did not see death. In Hebrews 11, chapter, verse 5. Enoch was the father of Methuselah, and he walked with God, and he lived 365 days upon this earth, but then he was no more. God took him. Then the third one is Noah. It says, "By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." Hebrews 11, verse 7. So Noah was a righteous man. And according to his faith, he did what God told him to do. And he says, basically, if you want to save yourself and your household, you need to prepare an ark. And while he was doing this, he was preaching to the people, trying to save them, but didn't have any results. But he did save himself and his household because of his faith, doing what God had told him to do. And so we see these three here right before Abraham. That they were, from the very beginning, we had righteous and we had faithful people. Then we come to Abraham and Sarah. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Hebrews 11, verse 8. So by faith, God told Abraham, "You're going to go from this place to over here, but you don't know where over here is. But you're going over there." His faith saved him. Because why? He went. He didn't know where he was going, but he went. He had the faith and the trust in God that God knew what was to be done and what can be done. And then also, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Hebrews 11:11. So Sarah, in her old age, past the childbearing age, God had told her, or promised her, that she would have a child. And she trusted him, and she had a child. She had Isaac. So we see here now in this 11th chapter, now he goes on, there's plenty of other ones he mentions here in the 11th chapter, those that are faithful members, that we know the names of them very well. Now let's go to the first century. The church has been established. And after it's been established, we see that there's persecution come about. And we see that the people are scattering because of the persecution. But they have faith in what they believe in. They heard the words, and they believe what they were talking about. So let's just imagine, let's look at these people. Now we see faces not recognizable, but being persecuted, terrible for their faith. Men and women are being beaten. Some are on fire. Others are being thrown into dens of lions. Still others are being taunted, mocked. Some are being stoned to death. Others are wandering in deserts and mountains, being destitute and tormented. These are the common people who are heroes of the faith. Common people, ordinary saints, are the heroes. They believe. They believe what God has said, what Jesus had mentioned to them. He says, Matthew 5th chapter, verses 10 to 12, on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus spoke these words, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." For righteousness' sake and for the sake of Jesus, they believe and they endure hardship. They endure persecution. They endure death because they believed in what Jesus had told them. He says, if you will do this, for great is your reward in heaven. Your reward is not upon this earth. They understood that. Their reward will come later in heaven. And that reward will be spent in eternity with Jesus and God and fellow saints. The Bible speaks of the simple man, the average person, the one who, like you and me, now, looking out here, there may be somebody I'm overlooking, but few of us are going to be famous. I'm just telling you, we're not going to be. Actually, Jesus himself was kind of insignificant in lots of ways. Even though he was King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he was born to poor parents into a class of ordinary people. He was a carpenter from Galilee. The prophet said of him, this is Isaiah, 53rd chapter, verse 2, "He hath no form nor comeliness, and when you shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." What Isaiah is telling him that Christ, Jesus, lacked all the physical attributes which attract people. Think about that. What attracted people to him? His words. He spoke with authority. He spoke to them and they believed him and they were willing to die for his sake. It's because they had faith in him. Furthermore, Jesus identified himself with the common people. Who was his friends? Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus? Zacchaeus, Peter and John? Not those of the hierarchy or those members of the religious elite. During his personal ministry, he was often criticized for his association with publicans and sinners. In Matthew, the 9th chapter, verses 10 through 13. Where did he spend his time with? Sinners. He sinned with the people. Ordinary people. Common people, as we call them. He wasn't seeking out the rich and the famous. He came as the great physician to save the lost sinners, their souls. When Jesus began his personal ministry, he needed helpers. He did not go to the school of the learned of his day to supply the need. He chose ordinary people. Four of them were fishermen. It was a respected but not a very important as occupation of that day. Matthew was a tax collector, a class hated by most people because on account of graft and corruption. These were just ordinary people. And think about, on Pentecost, when these same men spoke the gospel message to the people, it was asked, "Behold, are not all these that speak Galileans?" That is ordinary people. Not schooled to speak in several different languages. They could understand that these men are Galileans. They are not taught, they are not learned in speaking so many different languages. Why? Because it was a miracle. They understood these men could not do this. It had to be something else that caused them to speak these languages. Jesus' concern for the plain folks is illustrated in Matthew 9, verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. He was deeply touched by the needs of these people. Even his disciples, weary of the constant interruptions of them, and here they're trying to get close to Jesus, the Master, as they could, but not Jesus. He was moved by their problem, sympathetic to their needs. He indicated that he was one with them. Because how did Jesus look at the multitude? He looked at them as shepherds, sheep without a shepherd. Now, I'm not a sheep herder. I don't know anything much about sheep. But sheep needs a shepherd, somebody to lead them. They're followers. And that's what he looked at. And he saw that. They needed him to lead them. And he's to be the kind of shepherd that they needed. He needed to be one like them, one of them. And they saw that in Jesus. Jesus came to be one of them, one with them. He came to be tempted in all points like as we are. Now, if you want to understand the common people, then you're going to have to go through their life like that. And that's what Jesus did. He was tempted in all things. He knows what these people were going through. He knows what you and I are going through. Mark says of him in Mark 12, verse 37, says, "And the common people heard him gladly." They were happy to hear him. Now, there's two inferences from this. There's probably more than that, but I'm going to look at two. It assures that the gospel is for all people, not just a select few. And he tells them, and they said, "And the common people heard him gladly." That's not the rich and the famous. That's not the leaders of the religious sects. But it's the ordinary people. That's who the gospel is for. Who did he come down for? Sinners. Just like you and me. And it assures that the common people can understand the truth of God without the commentary of the learned. when you think about the Lord and you think of the denominations that they have, the clergy laity, that you have to be a doctor or a student of theology to understand the Bible. And I'll explain it to you. I'll tell you what you need to be. That's the clergy. That's the pastor or reverend, whatever they call them. You listen to me, I will interpret it for you. Well, what if he interprets it wrong? What if he has wrong interpretation? The gospel is easily can be understood. If you want to know about salvation, you can understand it from the gospel. Christ taught to the common people. And for the common people to understand it, he knew he had to make it where they can understand it. That salvation is through him. And people believed him and they trusted him and they followed him. They even died for him. We must never forget that the gospel is for common people, because we must never pick and choose who is fit subject for salvation and who is not. Sometimes we may do that. Oh, no, they will not be interested in this. It's not my judgment call. My judgment call is to present the word to them. And he says now, the gospel is for all. He tells his disciples in Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's to everybody. And that's not just for the elect, not just for those of rich, not just for those of wisdom or learned men. It's for everyone. You think about it. The first fruits of the gospel were planted following Pentecost. As many as were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Acts 8:4. They were so interested in who preached. They were not so interested in who preached, but they were interested in getting the word or the message out. It didn't say that the elders or the preachers or the teachers were scattered. It says as many were scattered. That's the people. All of them were scattered because of the persecution. They were getting away from it. But you think about it, they're trying to get away from the persecution. What did they do? They went preaching the word. They come up on these people. They go to a strange city, a strange town. What did they do? They talk about Jesus. They had Jesus in their heart. And he was running from persecution, from people for preaching or teaching about it. But that didn't deter them. Wherever they went preaching. That's how the gospel was spread. They taught Jesus to them. Now, there are wise men with us today. There always has been. But it's still the people that make it all work. The unsung heroes of faith are still the common people. The ones nobody has heard about, who quietly are doing what they can to defend Jesus or his namesake without reward here. Now, who are those? Those who are working out their salvation. Now, I spoke earlier about the clergy, laity concept. These people, these common people, understand that they need to study God's word. I'm talking about my salvation. I'm talking about my reward in heaven. What do I want to do? Well, I want to study his word to see if I am obeying it, if I am in accord with it. If this is what he wants me to do, I'm working out my salvation because I am obeying his laws, his commandments. Behaving themselves in the house of God. You probably wonder, well, are we misbehaving in our church? No, that's not what I meant. Behaving themselves in the house of God. They come here. They know what to expect. They know when they come here that we're on the first day of the week. We're going to sing songs. We're going to offer prayer. We're going to remember the Lord's death and burial. We're going to read scriptures, and we're going to talk about it. They understood basically what there's going to be needed. They come to worship, and when it comes to the house of God, they were coming to worship Him. And they want to do it in a decent and orderly manner. And to understand it and what they need to be built up, edified, and they need to edify, build up the other members, family members with Him also. Faithful men and women teaching others. Older men teaching younger men, husbands, how they should cherish their wives. Comparing to what Christ did for His bride, the church, He gave up His life. Older men teach the younger men to cherish their wives. And then the older women teaching the younger women how to respect and love their husbands. Also, faithful men and women teach it. They're teaching others. When they have the opportunity, they're out. They teach. Just like when they were scattered back in the first century, they preach and they talk Jesus. When we have the opportunity, when we're out, there's plenty of opportunities you can take advantage of. If you would, just take it and look at it. Forsaking not the assembly. I know when we first, COVID hit us, this was the hardest one when we couldn't assemble. I miss seeing your faces. I miss being with you, coming together. That was a hardship. And that's what he's talking about. When the doors are open, when the assemblies here come, be a part. You're a family. Be with your family. And it, to me, it was a great loss not being with my family. Worshiping with joy. How do you worship? We're joy. Think of who we're worshiping. God the Creator, His Son, Jesus Christ, that through His death, you and I can spend eternity with them. That's joy. When you come to worship, you have a smile on your face because you're just happy to be here and come. You think about what worshiping is. Enduring criticism without retaliation. Now, there's constructive criticism. I expect I'll get some when this sermon's over, but we'll take those. But there are some criticism that people are not constructive about it. They want to tear you down. But you don't retaliate. That's the thing. You keep on doing what the Lord wants you to do. Standing steadfast in their well-doing. Steadfast, immovable. What? In well-doing. You know what to do, what is right, and what is wrong. But you're going to stand steadfast to do that which is right. You're going to be firm about it. You're going to be out in the world. And they're going to ask you to do some things. And your faith is going to tell you, I can't do that. And they're going to be pressured to do that. Be steadfast. Be firm about it. Tell them and show them love. You cannot do that. And you won't do it. And you'll be surprised sometimes how you will maybe help somebody understand some things. What it means to have a true faith. A strong faith. Rejoicing in the Lord. Yes, I rejoice in the Lord. I appreciate what the Lord has blessed me with. He has richly blessed me with many things. But, you know, if I didn't have all these things, I still would be rejoicing. There are times when you're not going very well. You still need to rejoice in the Lord. Think what He has given you. What He has done for you. When, you know, sometimes you're sad or lonely, or you're just sad, period. Think about the Lord. You can get the Bible, did it. But think about the Lord and the sacrifice that He made for you. And that's a tremendous sacrifice. I don't know if you realize or not. To give up your life in the cruel death that He did. And I appreciate that. And that makes me, my heart, glad that somebody like Jesus would do that for me. But He's done it for you, and He's done it for everybody. Contending for the faith. Yes, be strong. Have the faith. You look at the 11th chapter, what they did, the members there, the saints, the prophets, everything. Look at what they did and their hardships and cruelty, but they still had the faith. Like I said, visualize the first century Christians, what they went through. The persecution and the trials and the tribulations that they actually physically did. We will say that, yes, I can endure those things until what? Until they happen. And then you'll find out. A lot of people will not do it. But these Christians did. They were new in the faith, but they believed in Jesus and His word, that His promise of a reward not here but in heaven. And it's for eternity. It's not for this time we live on this earth, but for eternity you can be in a safe position. And a heavenly position with God and Christ. So you contend for that. Then glorying in their trials. And this is hard to do. There is no doubt about that. When you have these trials come by, how can you glory? Would you give everything you do, you give glory to God. And once you start practice that, it comes easier and easier. You think about that. Glorify God. Whatever action you do, when you go out here tomorrow, you go to work or you play, whatever you do, are you going to be glorifying God? You may face some trials tomorrow. You may have some hardship. It seems like that Monday's always the one that could come, especially if you're going to work. Monday's always the hardest. Maybe it's the psychological, but to me it was always the worst day to go back to work. And you have more things comes up. But your faith will carry you through it. And you'll glorify it. These are the heroes. You are the heroes. And so I say to you folks, you are the real heroes. Thank you for what you are. For being faithful when it was hard. For being good when it would have been much easier to be bad. Thank you for your love and concern, for your virtue and patience. I thank you for your patience and your faith. And if you have never before been looked up to, if you have never before had anyone who respected you as a hero, look at me. I do. I thank you for being the salt, and I thank you for being the light. I appreciate you. You've done so much. This lesson is for me, and it's for you. Let's continue to work. Pax talked about responsibility. Let's fulfill our responsibilities. Let's do them. There are many things we can do and we should do, and let's carry on. And I appreciate what you have done. There's a lot of things y'all do that nobody knows about. That's fine. But God does know. Jesus does too. I want to leave you with this. Hebrews the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 12. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Yes, there's sins out there that really tug at us, and we have a hard time with it. But lay them aside. And let us run, not walk, but let us run with endurance. That means long lasting until the end. The race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus. That's what we're looking for. The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. At the right hand. That's the authority. That's the power. That's where he's at right now. You and I can be with it. There may be somebody that had not have confessed him and obeyed him. Tonight would be a good time. There's no better time, really, than obeying the gospel. Or there may be somebody that has, but it's fallen away. They haven't endured. They've gone back to the world. Or let that sin come into their heart, creep back into their heart again. Back into their lives. Well, now's the time to repent of those things and come back to the Lord. If you're subject, would you please come while we stand and say the invitation song.
Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God.